Well, you've seen them. There are Christians who kiss the crucifix, who kiss the Holy Scriptures, maybe even kiss the altar. But I have yet to see lips laid on the Ten Commandments. There doesn't seem to ever be any telltale lipstick markings on Moses' two tablets of stone. Some hate them, some mock them, most ignore or endure them, present company included. We certainly don't kiss them in adoration and love. Well, why not? Because who in their right mind would put their lips to the noose that's about to go around their neck? Who runs up to an electric chair that's about to fry them and give it a bear hug? Because the law always condemns. That's why. But it only condemns because it is good. The law will not excuse the bloody corpse of Abel lying at your feet. It refuses to justify your dangerous fling with Bathsheba. It will not pardon your golden calves, your loot from Jericho, or your scheming for Naboth's vineyard. It's too good for that. The law wants what is best for you. And what is best for you is not to divinize money, or seduce your secretary, or fix the books to fatten your wallet. What is best for you, what will make you truly joyful and truly content, is to do the law. Doing the law is what the lawyer wanted to do. He just simply asked for a clarification on who his neighbor was. And so Jesus tells him a story. But of course, he does this in a very Jesus sort of way. Because the neighbor, it turns out, is the one who stands in need of mercy. The neighbor is the one whom God places before you so that you can do the good of the law in doing good to him. But your neighbors, he's not just that wounded guy left half dead in the ditch. Your neighbors are also the thieves who stand in need of your prayers and admonition. Your neighbors are the priest and the Levite who stand in need of your example, your patience, your loving rebuke. Your neighbor is the innkeeper who stands in need of your two denarii, your encouragement, your promise to help even more. Your neighbors are all of these, whoever the Lord places before you to love, even when they're unlovable, to be merciful toward even when they themselves are merciless. And I know you're all eager to affirm this. Well, at least when others are commanded to be good neighbors to you, you expect your spouse to put up with your bad moods, your short temper, your pettiness, and your selfishness. And you get all bent out of shape when she doesn't. You think that your boss should be fine with your half-baked work, your 90-minute lunches, your borrowing from the office. And boy, do you get defensive if he dare to crack down on you. You get quite upset when there's not a line of visitors outside of your hospital room, or when your friends aren't as excited as you are when your kid makes the honor roll, or when someone dares to steal that parking spot you've obviously been waiting for at Walmart. But you demand what you never give. You always expect others to do for you what you rarely, if ever, do for them. And worst of all, then you turn around and you get hurt. You sulk. You get downright ticked off when others aren't the neighbors to you that you've never been to them. Repent. For though the law is good and holy and wise, though it has your welfare in mind, though keeping it will make you truly joyful, truly content, truly blessed, though all this is true, you've puckered up your lips before the two tablets of stone. Not to kiss them, but to spit upon them. Wipe away the spit and wipe the smirk off your face and pray, God be merciful to me and wipe away my lack of mercy for my neighbor. And this he is quite willing to do for you. For the God who gave the law that is good is himself good, and his mercy endures forever. How long? Forever. Longer than you've selfishly loved yourself, the Father has selflessly loved you. Longer than you have been faithless, Christ has been faithful to you. longer than you have ignored, despised, and laughed at your neighbor, the Spirit has looked with compassion upon you both. What the law demands, which is perfect love, and what you have never given, that is precisely who God is and what God gives. For he is the God who loves, who is love and who does love, and who loves each of you. For Christ came not only to suffer, die, and rise again, but to keep the law in your stead, which he himself had given. He came to trust his Father, to call on his name, to keep his word. He came to be the sinless Cain for the sinful Cain, a faithful David for the faithless David, a pious Achan, a perfect Ahab, a holy man for you, and all holy men of old, of now, and of the future. Because he is indeed the good, no, I'd say the perfect Samaritan. Attacked by sin, robbed by Satan, lacerated by death, there we lay, unable to help ourselves. Yet he helps us who can never help ourselves. And he washes away the blood with his own healing blood. He cleanses our wounds from the chalice of life. He strips himself and wraps us in his own garments of his righteous love. But again, we're not just the wounded man. Because we've attacked those who've angered us. We've stolen what we craved. We've lacerated others with our razor tongue. But for us robbers, the good Samaritan, the perfect Samaritan, freely gave all. He has restored what we have stolen from others. And yet then the Father looks upon us as those who gave, as those who have restored. For what the Son does, he has done wearing your skin. So also for all those times that we've walked away, like the priest and the Levite, not lifting a finger for those that we know are in need. For all those times, the perfect Samaritan did not turn away, but he came and he knelt down and extended mercy. He's the perfect priest, not passing by on the other side, but stopping and loving and interceding. He is the good Levite, not just coming up and stealing a quick glance, but coming and seeing and doing. What will make you truly joyful, truly content, and truly blessed is doing the law. And that law Jesus has done for you from A to Z. For as St. Augustine said, all the commandments are kept when what is not kept is forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.